This is Alive with Joseph.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's get into scriptures quickly. Let's get into scriptures. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 24. It says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." So this evening we're looking at receiving what he has done. Still continuing on our, dealing with dominion mandate, but we're moving now to receiving what he has done. Faith responds to whosoever believes. Faith responds to whosoever believes, or the faith of the believer responds to whosoever believes. Now, also understand that the faith of the Christian you admire out there, or any man of God or any woman of God you admire, is not that their faith is pro-max faith and your own faith is no max or no pro-faith. No. It's the same faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith responds to whosoever believe. Pastor Joseph doesn't have a pro-max faith and you have no pro-faith. No. Every faith is the same. To every man, he has dealt with the measure of faith. But faith responds to whosoever believes. That is to say, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received it before you can have it. Believe that you have received it and you have it. You cannot have it to believe that you have received it. In Christ, believing is equal to seeing. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. In Christ, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, believing is seeing, or believing equals to seeing. In Christ, in the New Covenant, you believe to see. You don't see to believe. In the world, in the world, you have to see first to believe. But faith believes to see. Faith believes to see. Never forget that. Romans chapter 10 verse 6 now says, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above." So the righteousness which is of faith talks. It is not quiet. It speaks. It is not a quiet, righteousness of faith. It speaks. That is, the righteousness which is of faith, the way you know the righteousness which is of faith is that it talks. It keeps talking. It never keeps quiet. And there are two things that guarantees the manifestation of the promises of God over your life. And those two things are, number one, grace. Number two, faith. Number one, grace. Number two, faith. What is grace? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace also is, it's what God has already done. Grace is what God has already done for you. Grace is what God has already done in Christ for you. So, number one, grace is Christ's riches at Christ, God's riches at Christ's expense. Number two, grace is what God has already done in Christ for you. Now, grace is not something you pay for. Grace is a gift. The grace of God is not something you pay for. It is a gift. It is the reckless love of God, the overwhelming love of God. It is the reckless, overwhelming love of God. For when we were dead in sin, Christ came and died for every one of us. That is the grace of God. That is the expression of God's love for every one of us, or towards every one of us, or towards humanity and mankind. Because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So that is God's expression of love towards mankind. So grace is Christ's riches, as God's riches at Christ's expense. It's already what God has already done for you and I in Christ. It is not something you pay for. It is the gift of God. It is the reckless love of God, the overwhelming love of God. Hallelujah. So what is faith then? Faith is believing what God has done in Christ for you. That's how simple it is. Faith is believing what God has done for you in Christ. Faith is believing what God has done in Christ for you. Faith is believing what God has done in Christ for you. Faith is Jesus died and I believe. Faith is Jesus died and I believe. If you can grasp that, you will enjoy victory permanently. Faith is, don't try to, get into, the difficult, the difficult aspect of definition of faith. No. Faith is Jesus died and I believe. Faith is Jesus died and I believe. Faith is he has done everything and I believe. He has done everything and I believe. Hear me, friends. There is what is called the necessary condition. Also, there is what is called the sufficient condition. In our walk with God, there is the necessary condition. There is also the sufficient condition. The necessary condition is grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. The sufficient condition from your side is faith in Christ alone. Necessary condition, grace. Sufficient condition is faith in Christ alone. Take note of the word alone. Faith in Christ alone. Not faith in Christ and your ancestors. Faith in Christ alone. Not faith in Christ and whatever it is you want to include. It is faith in Christ alone. Faith in Christ alone. Faith is we believe what he has done for us, not what we have done for him. Faith is, I believe what Jesus has done for me, not what I have done for him. Are you understanding me now? We receiving what he has done for us is the best thing that you and I can do for him. Receiving what he has done for us is the best thing that you can do for him. So the gospel, listen to this carefully. The gospel does not demand faith. The gospel supplies faith. The gospel does not demand faith. The gospel supplies faith. The message of God's grace supplies us faith. Let's build further. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. The gospel supplies faith. Never forget that. The gospel supplies faith. It never demands faith. It supplies faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 to 1 to 4. It says, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness. Did you see that? By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So grace and peace is multiplied in the knowledge of God as his divine power had given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the great and precious promises are made available to you by faith through righteousness. The great and precious promises are made available to you by grace through righteousness. Then Paul, speaking in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 3, he says, brethren, my heart desire and prayer for God, to God for Israel, is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They have a zeal, but it is void of knowledge. They are being ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So they didn't submit to the righteousness of God. They forsook the righteousness of God, and they went about establishing their own righteousness. Now, listen, friends, the mission of righteousness is to give us confidence before God. That is why righteousness, the revelation of righteousness, establishes faith. Because the mission of righteousness is to give us confidence before God. What is righteousness? I have a right standing with God. Not by what I have done. I have a right standing with God by what Jesus has already done. Are you understanding me now? I have a right standing with God by what Jesus has already done. So righteousness gives us confidence before God. Isaiah 32 verse 17 says, and the work of righteousness, the work of righteousness, the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and what? Assurance for how long? Assurance for how long? Assurance for how long? Assurance for how long? Hallelujah. So assurance forever. Quietness and assurance forever. The word assurance there means confidence. So all of God's mission is in making us righteous is to give us confidence, assurance, boldness forever. Right? It gives us boldness forever. So righteousness is to give us confidence before God forever. That is why when you have that confidence before God, when you approach God in the place of prayer, you are not wondering if he heard you or not. Because you have confidence that your father will never say no to you. He has already heard you. He is not planning to hear you. Actually, the day you pray was not when God gave you the answer. The day you pray is the day you decide to take what he has already given. Because everything has been completed in Christ. That is why we pray. We pray so that we can take what has been given. When you don't pray, you're not taking what is available. That is why a prayerless believer will never walk in victory. Because they are never taking what God has given to them. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. So is assurance, confidence before God. Amen. So that the righteousness is to give us confidence and boldness and assurance before God forever. That you and I may be able to stand before God without a sense of guilt, condemnation, inferiority complex, or sin consciousness. That we may be able to stand before God without a sense of guilt, condemnation, inferiority complex, or sin consciousness. The reason why many believers are not receiving answer to prayers is not because God is not giving them answer to prayers, is because when they approach God, they come with inferiority complex. When they approach God, they come with condemnation. When they approach God, they come with sin consciousness. And the Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that he is. Must believe that he is. That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. So if you must come, you must believe. If you're not going to believe, then don't bother coming. Hallelujah. So he that comes must believe that we may be able to stand before God. Righteousness enables us to stand before God in equality, in our true status, occupying our true position and fulfilling our relevance here on the earth. That is the whole mission of righteousness. That is the whole mission of righteousness. And all these cannot happen if you do not receive your righteousness by faith. If you do not receive your righteousness by faith, if you do not receive what he has already done. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So by the offense of one man in the Garden of Eden, who was that one man? Adam. By the offense of Adam, death came. By the righteous act of one man on the cross, who is Jesus Christ, righteousness and life came. By the offense of one man, death came. By the righteous act of one man, life and peace came. Life and righteousness and peace came. Now take note, when death came, judgment came with death. When death came, judgment came with death. By the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, when righteousness came, justification also came. Are you understanding me now? When death came, judgment came. When Jesus' righteousness came, what happened? Justification came. Death came with judgment. Righteousness came with justification. Judgment, when righteousness came with justification, judgment and death was removed. They were set aside. Righteousness and justification replaced death and judgment. What the death of Jesus did was to take death away from those who receive righteousness so that they can walk in the fullness of redemption provisions. That is what the death of Jesus came to do. It removed death away from those who receive righteousness, from those who believe in what he has done. And by them believing, they are able now to receive. When they receive, they are able to walk in the fullness of redemption provisions. Romans 5:19 now tells us, as we can read further, it says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Listen, you didn't become a sinner because you sinned. You became a sinner by one man's disobedience. By one man, Adam, every man born of a woman was made a sinner. Every man. Even if you're born in the pastor's house, you're a sinner. That is why even if you're a pastor, your children must be born again. My children have to be born again. Because why? Being born in pastor's house does not automatically mean that they are saved. No. Every man is born a sinner. Give the Lord your praise. Amen. And that really speaks to, particularly leaders in the church. Make sure your children are born again. Leaders in the house of God, make sure your children are born again. You being a leader in the house of God does not automatically give salvation to your children. Make sure your children are born again. You have a responsibility to lead them to Christ and make sure that they are born again and baptized. Make sure that they are born again, because there is an error that makes it like, well, for the fact that I'm a leader in the house of God, automatically that means my kids are born again. No. That is why you end up seeing kids who know so much about the things of the church, but their lives doesn't reflect, they are not saved. And those kids become a problem to the church because they've seen it all in the church. They know the politics of the church. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. So as a leader in the house of God, sit your children down. Ask them, are you born again? Are you born? When they say yes, ask them, explain to me what being born again means. If they cannot explain, lead them to Christ. Lead them to Christ. And if they have not been baptized, send them to baptism school and class. When you finish leading them to Christ, send them to Christianity 101. Every leader, your child must attend Christianity 101 and also attend discipleship school. All my children have attended. It's a must. Are you hearing me now? Amen. So you don't raise sons of Belial. Eli's sons were serving in the temple, but they didn't know the God they were serving in the temple. They became a weapon in the house of God. But that will not be our children in Jesus' name. Give the Lord your praise. Hallelujah. So by one man's offense, how did I get there? I got there by this. By one man's offense, many were made sinners. So also, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. By one man's obedience, by Jesus' obedience, every one of us is made righteous. We are not made righteous because of anything we did. The same way we were not made sinners because of anything we did. By everything that Adam did, we all became sinners. The same way by everything that Jesus has done, we all are righteous. Just by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. One man's obedience, or also everybody righteous. No act of duty, no works, just the obedience of one man replaced the disobedience of the other. The obedience of one man conferred on us who believe righteousness. Give the Lord your praise. Amen. Give Jesus your praise. Are you getting blessed? I'm just laying the foundation. We'll run off this week. Don't worry. Just follow me carefully. Let's read together Romans 1, 16 to 17. Let's all read together. Romans 1, chapter 16, verse 17. Are you ready? Let's go. At the count of three. 1, 2, 3, go. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Say amen to that. Say amen to that. Say amen to that. So you see that the gospel is what supplies us faith. The gospel supplies faith. Some people call faith a movement. Faith is not a movement. Faith is a structure by which the righteous live by. Faith is not something you have today, and if you like, you can do without it tomorrow. That's why it's not a movement. No. Faith is the system by which the righteous live by. It is the structure. It is the lifestyle of the righteous. Faith is not for everybody. Faith is the lifestyle of the righteous. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The righteous goes from faith to faith, or the revelation of righteousness takes you from faith to faith. So faith is not for the unbeliever out there. Faith is for you and I who are now in Christ, who now have the revelation of righteousness. The just, that is why he now ended that statement by saying, the just or those who are declared righteous, this is you and I. He said, this is how we live. Those of us who have been declared righteous by what Jesus has done, he said, this is how we live. How do we live? We live by faith. The just live by faith. The just shall live by faith. I pray for you. Going forward, you will live by faith in the name of Jesus. I say you shall live by faith in the name of Jesus. So the just, they live by faith. Faith comes by the gospel. Faith comes by the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Faith comes by the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. Now understand that the gospel does not have power. The gospel itself is the power. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel does not have power. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. And here, when you go now further, the Apostle Paul now speaking to us in his letter to the Corinthian church, he says now, 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but where? In the power of God. What is the power of God? The gospel. That your faith should be in the gospel. Oh, follow me carefully. That your faith should be in the gospel. He said your faith should be in the power of God. And Romans chapter 1 now tells us that the gospel is the power of God. So your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God, which is the gospel. What then is the gospel? What then is the gospel? Let's answer it. The gospel is his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his glorification. Hallelujah. The gospel is his death, his burial, his resurrection, his glorification. He died for you. He died as you. And when he was buried with you. Or you were buried with him. When he resurrected, you resurrected with him. Now you are seated with him in the heavenly places. He died for you. He died as you. When he was buried, you were buried with him. When he resurrected, you resurrected with him. Now you are seated with him in the heavenly places. You are seated with him. So Jesus, never forget, he died for you and died as you. He died for you and died as you. Are you understanding me now? He took your place. That is why he died as you. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, resurrection, glorification of Christ. The gospel is Jesus died for you and died as you. When he was buried, you were buried with him. When he resurrected with you. Now you are seated with him in the heavenly places. Give the Lord your praise this evening. Give Jesus praise. And now the Apostle Paul now said, this is where your faith should rest. On this, on the gospel, on what I've just said. Your faith should rest on what I've just said. That is where your faith should rest. Not on any other thing. Your faith should not rest on any other thing. Your faith should rest on what I've just said. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. By the word of Christ. So the just shall live by faith, and faith comes by the word of Christ. Faith comes by the gospel. Man shall live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. It's actually the mouth of faith. The word there, the mouth of God, is the mouth of faith. So you live by faith. How do we live, friends? How are you going to live in 2026? How are you going to live in 2026? How will you experience a supernatural shift? How will you experience supernatural shift in your business? How will you experience supernatural shift in your career? Everything by faith. Give the Lord your praise tonight. All by faith. You don't live by works. You live by faith. You don't live by what you do. You live by faith. What you do is your opportunity to give humanity a taste of what God has put on the inside of you. You live by faith. Because friends, if you have to live by what you do, it will take you forever to enjoy abundant life. If you have to live by what you do, it will take you forever to enjoy abundant life. If you live by faith, then your faith goes into the realms of the spirit, or goes into the realms of the invincible, and brings unto the visible world the abundant life that Jesus has given to you. Hallelujah. So we live by faith, because even now you can begin to experience abundant life of God in your life. Abundant life in your finances, abundance in your health, abundance in your family, abundance in your destiny. Why? Because you live by faith. Faith, listen to this, faith is God's capacity to buy into the realms of the spirit all that redemption has provided, and you transport them to the natural world where you need them. Are you following me, friends? Faith is God's capacity to buy into the realms of the spirit. All that redemption has provided. That is why. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That is why we decree and we boldly declare. Because when we decree and boldly declare, we don't go to God and say, Unkulukulu Baba, wait to, you know, Baba, you know, look at me, you know, I don't deserve it. No. Jesus has already. How will I put it now? I'm looking for the right word to use. Jesus has already qualified us to deserve it. That is why we don't pray in our name, we pray in his name. Because he has qualified us to deserve. And it has been given. So what do? We boldly declare, we take what has been given. You know, if someone now puts 2 million rands in my account, amen. Yeah, I call those things that be not as though they were. It's your business. If you like, be hoping people should give you 10 rand. I reject it. 2 million. Someone now decide to bless me with 2 million rands. Amen. If you're hearing online, you know. Receive the Holy Ghost speaking to you. Let your heart be open. Amen. And I want to go draw out of the 2 million rands. When I get to the ATM, how do I approach the ATM? Do I get you and say, oh, ATM, please, ATM. I'm hoping that you will have money for me, please, ATM. No. What do I do? Oh, I go boldly to the ATM. By the time I get to the ATM, I'm looking at the ATM. In fact, if there is queue, if it's possible, I want to bypass everybody. More like tell them, do you know how much I have in my account? Amen. The only reason why I'll be getting to ATM and be interceding is because I don't know what has been given. But when I know what has been given, I approach the ATM with boldness. And that's why we come to the throne of grace with boldness. And we don't just come, we remain there in boldness. Give the Lord your praise tonight. So that's why we decree and declare. Don't let anybody who doesn't know what God is doing to confuse you. That's why we decree and declare. I declare over you, your glory days are here in the name of Jesus. Your days of favor are here in the name of Jesus. Your days of increase are here in the name of Jesus. Receive it by grace in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. Are you following me tonight? So it takes faith to bring the invisible into the visible. How do we live by faith? Through what we believe in our heart and say with our mouth. That's how we live by faith. True, because faith has two addresses, heart and mouth. Heart and mouth. That is the address of faith. Faith has two addresses, heart and mouth. How do you live by faith? Through what you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth. The just shall live by what they say, by faith, by what they say. What do you say? What are you saying every day? Because that is the way the just shall live. They just live by faith. What is the address of faith? Believe in my heart, say with my mouth. Take note. Everything that Jesus provided for has to be received. Say, I receive. Let's read Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 quickly. Let's read it together. It says, let's read at the count of 3, 1, 2, 3, go. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ has what? Redeemed. Christ has what? Redeemed. You can't change it. It has already been done. Witches can't change it. No matter how they don't like you, they can't change it. Listen, their love is irrelevant. They can't. Christ has passed. He has already done it. But why are many still in that state that look like what Christ has not, that look opposite of what Christ has done? Why? It's because the error is coming from them. Why are many Christians still being afflicted with sickness? I'm not saying that sickness will not attack your body. It will, because we still live here on the planet Earth, and the devil never takes a break. So he will always come to attack. But when he comes, you need to stand your ground. When he comes, stand your ground. When he comes, when the enemy comes, stand your ground. Are you hearing me? When the sickness attack you, arise and stand your ground. I'm not going to stand there and say you will never be attacked with sickness. No, you will. Because we still live here on the planet Earth. The Bible said Satan left Jesus for a season. So he's always looking for means. He's as a roaring lion, looking for who he would devour. Hallelujah. But stand your ground. Jesus has already done it. The error is in the hands of many believers. Because as far as God is concerned, he has already finished his work. And the Bible tells us that the works were finished before the foundation of the world. He has finished it. And that is why you've got to see yourself the way God sees you. You've got to act the way God acts. You've got to talk the way God talks. Because can two work together except they be agreed? You need to daily say, I agree with God and I receive a manifestation. And I prophesy over you. Everything that is yours, receive it in the name of Jesus. You are not the sick trying to be healed. You are the healed. Sickness is trying to rob you of your divine health. The righteousness of faith speaks. So speak. Keep speaking. The righteousness of faith speaks. Romans 10 verse 6 to 8 says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, the address of faith. The word is near you. The word is near you. That is the word of faith which we preach. Faith doesn't need an assistance. When faith comes alive, it speaks. The impossible becomes possible. I say your impossible days are over in the name of Jesus. Your days of possibility has arrived in the name of Jesus. I say your days of possibility has arrived in the name of Jesus. That is why you have to receive what is yours. Everything that is yours is hanging. Many of you, your testimony is hanging for 2 years now, 3 years now, 4 years now. You must receive. You know, I saw a skit. A Christian skit the other day. Very powerful. That was scriptural. This person saw a demon holding his testimony. I'll find it and post it out there for you guys to see. Now, he said, you're holding my blessing. He said, yes. You know, he said, I've been holding it. It's already end of the year, so there's nothing you can do. I've been suffering. He said, you're suffering because you didn't know that this was yours. So I was sitting on it. Then he turned. He said, 2020, 2022. He said, forget all of this. We have already finished it. He said, he now rose and in anger began to pray and receive everything that was his, that was being held. Now, where am I going to? He said, your ignorance was what allowed us to keep what belongs to you. Ignorance is what has made many believers not receive what has been given. Ignorance. When you are ignorant of what has been given, you will not receive. Faith doesn't need an assistant. When faith comes alive, it speaks. I close here. God is not holding anything back from you. Galatians 3 verse 14 says, Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone on the everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The challenge is receiving. The problem is not God giving. The challenge is receiving. The problem is man receiving what God has given. The greatest challenge of the church is at the point of receiving. Many of us don't know how to receive what has been given. The problem is not God giving to us. The problem is man's ability to receive. That is why when a believer lives a prayerless life, you can't enjoy victory. Because prayer is the platform given to us to receive. Can you imagine those who don't join the morning prayers? All the things they have not been receiving. The whole of last week, it was systematic prayer. Can you imagine they were not receiving? This morning, we were praying, they were not receiving. They are snoring while we are receiving. You know? What an error. You are sleeping when others are receiving. It's like President Ramaphosa comes in and say, I'm going to be giving everybody 1 million rands in Polokwane. Everybody assemble in Peter Mukaba Stadium. Some will sleep there 1 week ahead of time. Amen. Many don't know how to receive what has been given. So the problem is not God given. The problem is man's inability to receive. I pray for you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, receive your supernatural shift this year. In the name of Jesus. Every supernatural shift God has given in every area of your life, I decree and I declare, receive it in the name of Jesus. Everything God has given you that will make your life a glorious life in 2026, I prophesy as your amen will thunder tonight. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Whatever will make your life better this year, receive it in the name of Jesus. Whatever will make you say, truly 2026 has been a glorious year for me, receive it in the name of Jesus. All redemption's provision, receive in the name of Jesus. Healing is redemption provision. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Prosperity is redemption's provision. Receive your prosperity in the name of Jesus. Restoration is redemption's provision. Receive restoration in the name of Jesus. Joy unspeakable, full of glory, is redemption's provision. Receive that joy in the name of Jesus. Receive peace that passes human understanding in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise. Hallelujah. Let's rise on our feet and let's go home. Amen. Lift your voice and begin to say, Lord, I receive everything you've done. I receive redemption's provision.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.